اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله سبحانك لا نفسي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ارض عنا رضا لا تسخط عنا بعده أبدا اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على روح سيدنا محمد في الأرواح اللهم صل على قبر سيدنا محمد في القبور اللهم صل على جسد سيدنا محمد في الأجساد اللهم صل على موقف سيدنا محمد في المواقف اللهم صل على مشهد سيدنا محمد في المشاهد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم سلمان رضی اللہ عنہ reports that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم addressed us on the last day of Shaaban and said, O people, there comes over you now a great month, a most blessed month in which lies a night more greater in virtue than 1,000 months. It is a month in which Allah Ta'ala has made fasting compulsory by day and has made sunnah the taraweeh by night. Whosoever intends drawing near to Allah Ta'ala by performing any virtuous deed, for such a person shall be the reward like the one who had performed a fard in any other time. And whoever performs a fard shall be blessed with the reward of 70 fara'is in any other time. This is indeed the month of patience, and the reward for true patience is Jannah. It is the month of sympathy with one's fellow men. It is the month wherein a true believer's rizq is increased. Whosoever feeds another who fasted in order to break the fast at sunset, for the feeder there shall be forgiveness of sins and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. And for such a feeder shall be the same reward as the one who fasted, who he fed, without that person's reward being decreased in the least. Thereupon we said, O Messenger of Allah, not all of us possess the means whereby we can give a fasting person to break his fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Allah Ta'ala grants the same reward to the one who gives a fasting person to break the fast a mere date, or a drink of water, or a sip of milk. This is a month, the first of which brings Allah Ta'ala's mercy, the middle of which brings His forgiveness, and the last of which brings emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Whosoever lessens the burden of his servants in this month, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him and free him from the fire of Jahannam. And in this month, 4 things you should continue to perform in great number, 2 of which shall be to please your Lord, while the other 2 shall be those without which you cannot do. Those which shall be to please your Lord are that you should in great quantity bear witness that there is no deity to worship except Allah Ta'ala, that is, recite the kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah, make much istighfar, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness with astaghfirullah. And as for those without which you cannot do, you should beg of Allah entrance into paradise and ask refuge in Him from Jahannam. And whoever gave a person who fasted water to drink, Allah Ta'ala should grant that giver to drink from my fountain, such a drink whereafter that person shall never again feel thirsty until he enters Jannah.
Every deed has some unique quality. When we talk about namaz, then the unique effect of namaz is إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. It will stop you from illicit and shameful works and from wrong, provided the namaz is done like how the namaz is supposed to be done. Then the namaz has this effect. Anything that is illicit, anything that is wrong, anything that is shameful, the namaz will stop you from. This is the effect of namaz. Now, in this month, generally, we increase the recitation of the Quran Sharif. That is the ibadat. So, as far as the Quran Sharif is concerned, then there are several dimensions to the Quran Sharif. One is the understanding of the Quran Sharif, and the other is the recitation of the Quran. So we understand that the recitation is an ibadat in its own. Like understanding the Quran Sharif is an ibadat on its own, then the recitation of the Quran Sharif is an ibadat in its own. That is why that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he had undergone his trial and Allah Ta'ala gave him that tawfiq, that grace to come out of this trial successfully, so he had the vision of Allah Ta'ala. He had seen Allah Ta'ala. And in that he asked Allah Ta'ala, what are the ways to gain your proximity and your closeness? So Allah Ta'ala told him, it is the recitation of the Quran. Then he asked, this recitation, is it a recitation with understanding or without understanding? And Allah Ta'ala told him, both ways, whether it is with understanding, whether it is without understanding, in both ways, you will gain this proximity and this closeness to Allah Ta'ala. So now, when we recite the Quran Sharif, when we recite the Quran Sharif, then what should be the frame of the mind? Like I said, the thing that is unique in namaz is that it will stop you from wrong and from illicit. So what is the thing that is unique to the recitation of the Quran Sharif? So in the first verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala spells it out to us, مُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Right. And perhaps Allah Ta'ala brought it right in the beginning that He can create a mindset in your mind, that He may create a mindset in your mind that what is this recitation of the Quran Sharif for? This tilawat of the Quran that you're engaging, then what is the Quran Sharif? What is this tilawat for? What will it do to you? Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is reported to have said, this is supposed to be the frame, the frame of your mind. That when you are reciting the Quran Sharif, then the Quran Sharif is a book of hidayat. It's a book of guidance. It isn't a book of science, like how some scientists think, or some Muslims who become overwhelmed with science, overwhelmed with secular education, etc. They say, no, we can find scientific facts in the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif is ruling it out. That I'm not a book of science. I'm not a book of circular studies. So it's ruling all that out. So all these things, in comparison to what the Quran Sharif is like dirt, it's filth. There's no, it's got no significance, no merit, nothing. Although science may be useful in some respect, but in respect to the glory of the Quran Sharif, then this is insignificant. This is nothing. So what is the Quran? It's a book of hidayat. It's saying to you from the very beginning, so you can create the right type of a mindset. What is your mindset? The hidayat. Then when it's a book of hidayat, as though you are beseeching Allah Ta'ala, this is approximate words of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, as though you are beseeching Allah Ta'ala, that the guidance that is supposed to be for me, Allah grant me that guidance. Because every person's plan and program in this life is different. One person's program, one person's itinerary is different to the next person's itinerary. One person may be a Hafiz Ustad. What's his work? His work is to teach the Quran Sharif, learn that Quran Sharif and to pass it on. One person's itinerary in this life may be to support his wife and children. Right? One person's itinerary may be to give bayans. One person's itinerary may be to write kitabs. One person's itinerary may be to give bayans, to lecture and educate people in that manner. So each one is coming with a different itinerary. So the itinerary that Allah Ta'ala has planned, what we say taqdeer, then that must open up to me, that this is what is for me. And when this is for me, then my mind must go in that direction. So you are asking the hidayat that is directed to you. Whatever hidayat Allah Ta'ala has decreed and directed for you, Allah Ta'ala, you asking Allah Ta'ala, you beseeching Allah Ta'ala, that hidayat must open up to me, so I can go in that direction, and I can go in that direction smoothly with ease. So the hidayat that is decreed for you, you are beseeching Allah Ta'ala that give me and open the door of hidayat that is decreed for me with ease and with enjoyment. That is why you make this dua. وَلَا تُذْهِبْ طَلَبِي إِلَى شَيْءٍ صَرَّفْتَهُ أَنِّي. Let me not go in that direction that you have not decreed for me. There are some things that you have decreed for me and some things that haven't been decreed for me. So let my heart not go in that direction that is not decreed for me. For example, right, writing a kitab is also a righteous work. It's great, right? How many hundreds of people benefit through one kitab? But for a particular person, Allah Ta'ala has decreed that he must give bayans. Now sometimes his mind may go in different direction, must give more bayans, must write more kitabs. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala that what is being decreed for me, Allah Ta'ala direct me to that state. So that my mind is not in a state of anxiety, is not perplexed, is not in a state of confusion. Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, was a student of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So, we need to understand that there is a relationship. Even in the Imams, there is a relationship one to the other. And it was the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala that He had selected certain Imams. So if you look at them, then one is related to the other. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is drawing from Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is drawing from Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is drawing from Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi again. And Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi is drawing from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So there is a relationship. There's a relationship, one Imam to the other Imam. Then Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi is the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. So it is important for us to know our roots. And we didn't come like wild grass, just come up with no beginnings. Wild grass is growing up like that. So that means there is a lineage in our ilm, our education, our instruction. There is a lineage. One is a person who's got no lineage in his education. Just anything, wherever he picked up here, he just picked up and he adopted it. Right? If an adopted child, does he gain the same affection and kindness and respect like your own blood? It's different. He's adopted. You don't know who's his parents. He just adopted him. There was an orphanage and you saw a child and you picked up the child. So you don't know the person's lineage. So now one is that child. And one is a child with a lineage. So are the both treated equally? They are both not treated equally. He's treated differently. He's treated differently. You know, this is your blood. And some people, they complicate issues. They want to, perhaps in the first 7-8 years they didn't get children. So now they go to an orphanage for a child. Adopted him, brought him up for 2-3 years. In the 4th year they got their own child. When they got their own child now, they don't know how to balance it. Because first we gave all that attention to this adopted child. Now we got our own. Own is own. And adopted is adopted. How do we balance the scale with both? So anyway, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, we're talking about him, right? He's a student of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So, he was invited, Imam Ahmad was invited by his ustad, Imam Ahmad Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi had the type of regards and respect for his student. His student was so great. So the ustad himself respected him. So how pleased that the ustad does not feel when he sees that his student is moving in the same direction and is excelling. I brought you to a certain path, and when I brought you to that path and I see you going on and you are making strides upon strides, you are moving in that direction, then the ustad feels very happy, very pleased about it. And what I trained you for, you are working in that direction. You're progressing. So therefore Imam Shafi rahmatullah will definitely feel pleased about his student, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. He invited him. And this is the niyat that we should be having. Our ustads have brought us in a certain line, right? So we should now progress in that same line. What line they have given us, then we progress in that same line. Okay? So the ustad's mind must be the same, and the student's mind must be the same. The ustad's mind mustn't be that, you know, my student must be all wealthy and very prosperous, so that if they are prosperous and wealthy, then I can cream them. From time to time, they can be my dream, and when they are my dream, then I can cream. So that mustn't be the mindset. It's wrong, no? The relationship is wrong. So anyway, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi explained to his daughter that this is a man, the Imam of the time, my student, such a pious person, he's coming. So he's already prepared the mind of his daughter that this is the type of person, the guest that we are receiving. Here, when he came, then he wiped the table out. Ate, and he ate, and he ate. Well, obviously the woman get to know what's happening, right? From the returns, they know what's happening. Just one guest, and the returns are going into the kitchen, right? So won't they know what type of justice this person did? So obviously now they are checking what's going on. The wife, the daughter is seeing all this. In the old days, they didn't have this municipal water lines, right? So if you receive a guest or in your own home, you have filled containers, and according to your needs, you had left in the toilet or in the wuzu for any person to make wuzu. So wuzu water was left for Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in the event he had to get up for tahajjud. Now, when they went and checked the water, the wuzu water wasn't used. Now there's a double problem, and he did more than justice to our food, or justice, he was overjust to the food. And number two, he didn't even use the water. Now that's the second complaint. Because, like I say, the woman of the house, they know what's going to happen, what's happening. Utensils, everything is coming in their hands, right? Like, you hear about the Tabligh Jamaat, you know. If Jamaat came, so the local people will do some ikhid khidmat, they are supposed to do some ikram, right? Now, if you want to secure a second ikram from the woman, then you must ensure that you return all the utensils. It's like a deposit that you have to pay for the next ikram, that you send back all the utensils, all the burdens will send it. Because this burdens is too dear to this woman. More than the food is the wahans, is the utensils. So that's the second thing. Now the third thing was that she saw Imam Ahmad going for namaz and he didn't make wuzu. Obviously the man came in from Isha time. He ate, and then he didn't use that water, and then he proceeded to the masjid without making wuzu. Now she listed up all the complaints by, he was talking about this buzrug, he's such a great person, he's an imam of his time, and he's an expert like this, and like that, whatever. But I see these problems in him. It wasn't like some people you have, you know, anything comes, David, what our sheikh did is right. What he did was right. There is sanctioning, whether he was right or not right, whether he was conforming to the teaching of the fuqaha or not. He is my sheikh. Whatever he does is right. So that zamana, they see in the person, is he conforming or not? There is a certain code, and you must conform to that code. Now when you go off that, then you say, no, you go away from the code to the person, because that the person, whatever he does, everything is divinely sanctioned. So in that zamana, they looked at the conformity of the code. Is he conforming to the code or not? So that means the woman also had committed themselves to the code, and they expected that if they wanted to see any person righteous, they wanted to see him also conforming to the code. See the importance of it. That because of the personality, then you don't compromise the standards of the Sharia. One is the standard of the Sharia, and one is the personality. So sometimes what happens is that we mix up the standard of the Sharia and then the personality. So both are important. Personality is also important, but the code is also very, very, very important. But because of the personality, we don't compromise the code of the Sharia. It's not relaxed for anybody. No cancellations and no exceptions to the rule. Unless it's a state of desperation, The state of desperation is different. He's in a state of desperation, so he's sitting down and performing namaz, so he's failed by desperation, weakness, helplessness. He doesn't have the strength, it's a different thing. So desperation is something else. But a normal person, then you have to conform to the code. So now the daughter went and complained to Imam Shafi rahmatullah, that this is what you talk about your student Chuna Chuni. And when I even expected him, hey, this is a problem, man, serious problem. I can't just understand this. He ate and he wiped out the entire table. Hey, he did it and he overdid the justice. Number two, we took all the pains to place wuzu water for him. He didn't even touch that water. What about person? You were talking so great about this person here. Then this is the problem we see in him. Then the third thing is that, you know, that was even worse. Now I can't get to terms with this. He went for namaz, fajr namaz, he didn't even make wuzu. Hey, what type of person are you talking about? So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, he cautioned his daughter, say, hey, you mustn't speak about people like this. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't talk about them like that. Anyway, you have to teach her the respect for the personality. So you see, you have to marry the both, get the both right. But in the quiet, he went and spoke to his student, you know what happened to you? You know, you didn't perform your wuzu. You went and wiped the table out like that. What happened? So now look at the reply Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah gave. He says, you see, when I sat at your dastarkhan, the nur that I had seen, I hadn't seen something like this before. I was eating and I was filling myself with nur. So we will only see nur if there's kebabs, there's chops, pizza. That's the only type we see. So yeah, it was simple food. But this Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal saw the nur in that. He said, I need to fill myself with that nur. Because I may not get that opportunity again. And this is the nur is the thing that motivates you, that pushes you forward. So I got a chance like this. Now why must I waste this chance? So I ate, I said, I got a chance now, I must fill myself up. Like in the month of Ramadan, it's a month of nur, right? How much we can fill ourselves with the Quran, go on filling. Don't we do it? Because we know right until the next year we won't get a chance like this again. So we don't want to get a chance right till the next Ramadan, so we fill ourselves up. So I said, let me fill myself up. Then, what about you not making wuzu? No tahajjud, no wuzu, what happened? You know, not even tahajjud, no wuzu you made. So he says, you see, I ate all that, right? Then the moment I sat on the bed, my man just went on one verse of the Quran. You see, we talk of hidayat, you know. Hidayat. Now we read that one verse of the Quran Sharif, and our mind is blank. Whether he's an alim or he's an alim, if he's an alim, then he'll just understand the tarjama, the translation. Now, what type of a caliber of person this person must have been? He just sat on his bed, and his mind just went. You know, his mind just went. You know, like when I say mind just went, so you went to China, for example, for a shopping, right? So you saw the catalogue, what they got to offer in a certain mall, right? They're selling, for example, a certain type of a computer in a certain mall. And you know, this thing it can go like a wildfire can go. How I can market it, how I can sell this thing here, you know, the price is on. And I'm going to market this thing. So how your mind goes, can you sleep after that? Hey, what I can see here is, I can see 50 million. Nobody can imitate this. So now I know it's exclusive. And by time it hits the market, I'll get my 50 mil. After that, people start. Their eyes will open only then. So how your mind will work then? Now, our minds work when we see the dollars. Yeah. The dollars, when we see that, then our minds work. And their minds work with hidayat. See, it's, you know, the type of hidayat that you are asking. You are asking that type of hidayat, so you got that for dollars. $1 to $200, $2 million. And his mind and his brain is working towards this hidayat. So in that one verse of the Quran, mind is opened up, as though the catalogue just opened up. It opened up and from one verse, he's taking out one masla, and one ruling, and a second ruling, and a third ruling. Mind is just opening, I can take out the fourth ruling, the fifth ruling. Until, he says, the night it passed, I extracted 70 rulings from this one verse of the Quran. One verse of the Quran, and I extracted 70 rulings. You know, that famous hadith which says, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. Aba Umair, what has happened to Nughair? It came to one of us, we took it, alright. Nabi Sam was so kind towards the child, and ended up there. Right, but then you get people like giants of the muhaddiseen. They looked at that one statement and they took out about 60, 70 masail from the rulings. They said now, for example, it is permissible to take a bird as a pet. Number two, it is permissible to give, to offer condolences on the death of a bird. When a human being, you give condolences. But when a person has a pet and that pet died, to offer condolences is permissible. Number three, a child that has not yet become a father, to call him father of so-and-so, Aba Umair, is it right? It's permissible here. Number four, in Medina Munawara is a haram, right? In the haram, you're not supposed to be having any wild animal. So the ruling of the haram of Medina is different to the ruling of the haram of Makkah. Makkah, you can't keep a pet there. Because it's a wild animal and you've encaged it. Medina Munawwara, you can do it. But you see now this fuqaha, how their mind works. It's mind-boggling how their minds work. But their minds work in rulings and in the depths of the Sharia, like how all minds work in the depths of wealth. We are going depths of wealth and they are going in the depths of Sharia. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says to his Ustad, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, you know, and I know as well, that one is a reward that is lazim, and one is a return that is mutaddi. One is the reward that is confined to yourself. Right? You're making namaz, so the reward of namaz, is it confined to yourself or does it pass on, does it extend to others? It's confined to yourself. But if you're going to write a kitab or something, then the benefit of it, is it confined to yourself or it extends to others as well? It extends to others, to you and to others. So what is more rewarding? The work, the act, whose benefit is confined to yourself or it extends to others? Obviously the one that extends to others. So I was engaged in something that was beneficial all around to me and to others. Then how can I sacrifice this for a personal ibadat? I would have, had I gone into my nafil namaz, it would have been a personal thing. Now I'm gone into this, it's not just for me. It's for thousands of people coming, and going to come in the generations before us. See how their minds worked. Allah didn't just appoint them as imams like that. He had a reason why he appointed them as imams. So how their minds worked was totally different. So you see, that was the first question, that he ate that amount. The second, that he didn't get up for tahajjud. Why? And the third, he didn't make wuzu. So when my mind was like that, right, then my mind went like that right till the azan of fajr. I had my wuzu, so what was the need for me to renew my wuzu? My wuzu was intact, right? My wuzu was intact, I was writing down those rulings that were coming out, you know, just Allah Baghwa just inspiring me. One and the two, a second one and the third one and the fourth one. I was just getting inspiration on inspiration, inspiration upon inspiration. Allah Baghwa was just inspiring my heart. So my heart was just getting inspired all the time. Then my night was spent like that. Then what was the need for me to renew my wuzu? You see how their minds work. So we're coming on that point. The Quran Sharif is a hidayat. So we don't take it like a scientific book. We don't take it as a book of any circular science. Rather, it is a book of hidayat. So I need to see now my hidayat. You know, this Quran Sharif is going to be a hidayat, a book of guidance for me. So what's my guidance in this Quran? What is my labakul? Inspire your heart that you need to do this. But you're doing it with that intention that Allah give me and direct me to my hidayat. You know, each person has come with a different itinerary. When he's come with a different itinerary, then Allah is guiding you towards your hidayat. Allah inspires people in differently. Sometimes it's a long time hidayat. Sometimes it's a specific hidayat. One student is studying very hard, you know. And meanwhile, there's a call for jihad. So his mind is going, hey, everybody's going for jihad. Let me go as well. So then he sits down. He says, but you know, is my niyat right in going out for jihad? So now when Allah Pak inspires someone's heart, then he will think differently. Then even he sat down and he's analyzing, says, see, in that group of jihad, for jihad, they already got the required amount. They got the quota. They need 100, they got 150 people. So that 50 is more than the quota. Right? Like for example, janaza namaz is farz kifaya, right? When it's farz kifaya, you got 100 people to perform the namaz. Now you're leaving out some other important Islamic duty. For example, now it's an Islamic duty to learn your lesson. Now you're not learning your lesson, and there's a janaza namaz in Hilal now, and you are going for that janaza namaz in Hilal. Right? So obviously, going there, getting for the namaz, coming back is going to be a 1.5 hour. In the meanwhile, you may have missed out 2 periods. You can't recover those 2 periods. So now, this student is getting inspired from Allah Ta'ala. Okay, you see, your intention is not right. Because they have got the quota. So what's the need for you to join up? So the nafs is talking now, you know, you'll join up, you'll become shaheed, you know. You'll become shaheed. And then you go jannat. So he says, this is the nafs. It's playing games with me. Because studying in the madrasa is a difficult thing. They must do fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. Kya us ek mard ne wahid muzakkar ghaib, right? all that I must, this could carry on for 7, 8 years, 9 years, carrying on like this. Yeah, I'll just go shortcut, go in the jihad, throw myself right in the front line, get killed, then I'm going to Jannah. This is shortcut. So Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart. When Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart, said, you go for the long cut, leave with shortcut. Leave this shortcut. You're getting lazy. You don't want to work. So you thought this is a shortcut. Let's go there, throw myself. Shahid, finish. End of the story. This thing here, this world is a big chakkar here. Yeah? I don't want to go through this whole chakkar. I want to go shortcut into Jannah. So the hidayat that was meant, that was destined for you. So you're looking in the Quran, in the pages of the Quran, and you want Allah Ta'ala to show you the hidayat that is destined for you. Now that is the niyat that you read the Quran Sharif. Allah grant us all tawfiq. Make some zikr for some time.